this hour on Let's Hear It, we'll be talking to the two stars of Murder for Two, Holiday Edition. It's coming up at Farmers Alley Theater starting Friday already. And also in the studio, we have the artistic director of Farmers Alley Theater, Jeremy Koch, as well. And we'll be chatting with Brandon Lambert and Joe Kenosian in just a moment, but I wanted to touch base with you, Jeremy, as the season progresses. I'm sure you're really excited about the holiday music, the holiday musical. There's always something that you're offering this time of year that sets you apart a little bit, but offers something for a whole group of people, family members, friends.
What we're hearing from our audiences is that they not only want to be, you know, inspired and have, you know, reasons to be hopeful for the future, people want to laugh. And so I actually think you get all of that with this cute, clever, wacky, zany piece called Murder for Two Holiday Edition. You will laugh your head off, of course, but there's a lot of heart in it, too. And I think you will be inspired to go out there and learn some piano and find a good friend.
Because the story behind this is really, it's energizing, heartwarming, and you're saying inspiring.
Well, yeah. I mean, there's themes of like partnering, you know what I mean? Having a partner, right? Whatever that means to you. For some people, it's just your best friend. It could be a sibling. It could be a parent. It could be a significant other. But this idea that if we, you know, if we talk to each other, if we sing to each other, if we hold hands and walk into the unknown together, we'll get through it.
But you also need a piano for this.
You do need a piano.
And that was kind of the, I'm quoting, you know, the excuse for staging this in 2016, because you were collaborating with the festival time for the Gilmore Piano Festival.
That's right. That's right. It was a great, we love the Gilmore Piano Festival so much. And, you know, we've collaborated many times before. And the idea is, you know, why don't we find, you know, all these great recitals and, you know, concerts of these fantastic musicians, but what if we had a play or a musical that centered around a piano? And this was when Dan Gustin was running it, and now with Pierre van der Vesthuizen, also continuing the tradition, you know, finding a piece that centers around a piano. It sometimes is a comedy like this, and sometimes it's a drama, but this was one of our most well-received productions, extremely artistically successful and also commercially successful. And so when we ask our audiences, you know, what's something we've done in the past that you might like to see again, this title comes up many times. And so here we have this opportunity to present the piece, which is very similar to what it was in 2016, sprinkle on some reindeer hooves and some jingle bells and some mistletoe on top. And then anyone who's seen it before gets a little extra flavor. And anyone that's never seen it before is really getting the cake and the icing too.
I saw it twice when you came here the first time. And there's a good reason for that. It is so fast-paced and so, you know, you know you're not catching all of it.
Do you want me to leave so you can speak honestly?
Joe.
Happy to do that. No, thank you.
No, and I think that may be another reason people ask for it again, because once is really not quite enough to capture it. It does seem to bring back a style of theater that, you know, when if I turn on maybe Turner Classic and I'm watching a screwball comedy, and the lines are flying again. You know, it's sort of this giddy magic that was probably really difficult to create.
Can I talk? You didn't introduce me, but is that okay? I realized I jumped in preemptively.
Joe Kenosian.
I'm also Kara Lawrence.
He's the writer and performer of 10 characters in Murder for Two Holiday Edition, which starts Friday.
Yes, and you totally got what we were going for. And I think people who are fans of, especially those brilliant 1930s screwball farces, the Marx Brothers, the Thin Man, anything Preston Sturges did, it really is trying to recreate that world on stage in a really contemporary way. So that if you're a fan of the Marx Brothers, you can enjoy it like that. But if you only know The Simpsons, you can still get that sort of irreverent, surreal humor. And that was always the intention.
my favorite is probably My Man Godfrey, mm-hmm. with Carole Lombard.
William Powell.
And a host of crazy characters who just make the thing worth watching so much. Even if they have small parts, it's terrific.
Yeah.
It becomes a well-oiled machine over time, but can you take us back to the untried era of Murder for Two? You were working with, was it Brett Ryback back then?
It's gone through a lot of forms. I mean, when we were originally doing it, it was me and my friend Marcus Stevens, which is why the character of the detective is still named Marcus. It was in his honor. And then it's been, I think I've done this show with like around 20 different co-stars, and they've all been leading me to Brandon Lambert, who joins us now. Hi, Brandon.
Hey, how's it going?
We're doing our NPR voice.
Nailed it.
But every co-star brings a different style to it. So it's like, you know, as the show's evolved, my relationship with all the different actors I've worked with has evolved. And Brandon and I got to do one performance together in Pittsburgh as we were handing one cast off to the other.
First time I ever did the show, which it's a pretty...
I was 87. It was a different time.
Yeah, but it was fun, and I'm happy to be able to do it with you again after all these years. Like, I think I've had maybe 10 suspects over the years, but you're my favorite.
That's Murder for Two, Farmer's Alley Theater.
I'm getting a sense of just how popular this is. It's being staged somewhere all the time. Is that
so funny? Because we wrote it, my writing partner and I wrote it. His name's Kellen Blair, by the way. He should get some press too while we're here. We wrote it to perform once at the Duplex Theater, which is a cabaret joint in the West Village that we love. I don't know. We didn't have like reputations as writers. We were really just starting. And so like everything in it was just to appeal to our own sense of humor and to try to make our friends chuckle. And I feel like now when we write new shows, as we develop them with theaters, we're still going back to like, what would we want to see? You know, that really is a good way for writers to proceed. Mm-hmm. Bearing in mind, you know, that you can't just do like your 5-hour art therapy show. you have to refine it for an audience. But at the same time, it's like, well, what makes you laugh? What turns you on? Yeah. You know,
Did politics of the last 4 years somehow infuse themselves into the show at all?
Always. I mean, that's the thing about theater, is that whole conversation aspect is like, it's not a film that's just done and we can talk about it or not talk about it as time goes on. You know, theater's ever changing, and I feel like, you know, it used to just be this sort of light farce, and now especially since last year, you know, he is playing a detective, he is a member of the police force, and he goes into this crazy environment, and he's thwarted at every turn by these suspects who have no respect for him. And I still think it works as a farce. I mean, I hope so. You can tell me if you disagree. But but it has this like other sort of layer of like irreverence toward the force, which is interesting. Yeah.
Just for those who need a quick setup, it's a party, a surprise party, where the quote, great American novelist Arthur Whitney has just been dispatched by one of his guests. Joe, you play all of the guests, and Brandon, you are the detective, mm-hmm. Interacting with all of these various characters. And that's kind of the premise of the show. You mentioned a cabaret theater in the Village. How is that translating to Farmer's Alley Theater's downtown space?
Oh, just perfectly. No, I mean, it's like I was just saying to my friend Jeremy that it's what's cool about being at Farmer's Alley, where you're so close to the audience. And is it 100 seats? Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's not a huge house. And when we were here with the Gilmore, that was at least 300.
200?
That was
okay.
at the Little Theater
well,
on
like
Oakland
I was performing like it was 300.
Joe, you may not know this, but...
I was trying to aim 100 seats back from the furthest person.
Did
there.
You know that they turned it into an e-sports stadium, that Little Theater?
They did?
That's where...
E-sports, is that like video games?
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Wow.
Or maybe that's cool.
Western team plays some other college in a video game.
It's
oh, that's
yeah,
cool.
It's
I wonder if they do Super Smash tournaments.
Well...
Brandon, we're not supposed to be pro replacing...
Oh, that's true. Oh, wait, no. I mean, this is a shame. But now, you know.
But being in the audience's face as we are, but at a respectful, safe, COVID-friendly distance, COVID-unfriendly because we don't like COVID distance, it really makes me feel like when we first started with like small venues, a team of artists like just having fun with the design and trying to pull together like a really fun, scrappy design. And one of my favorite aspects of Farmer's Alley is that although the show is it's a simple setup. It's this birthday party for this novelist that happens to be on Christmas Eve. And he is killed by one of his guests upon entering the party. Even though the setup is very simple, there are some tricks we have up our sleeves. And at Farmer's Alley, everything is operated by a person doing it. There's no fancy mechanics. It's all just like ropes and pulleys backstage operating the set. And I just love that.
We chose not to use the hydraulics for this
Would
production.
You mind getting
that? Oh, yeah.
We chose not to use the hydraulics for this production. the famous Farmer's Alley hydraulic system.
Donate to your local NPR affiliate so that Kara can get a new microphone for when she has three people.
We do have a staff meeting tomorrow. I might bring it up then. Yeah, three
hey,
mics
boss
would
man.
Be wonderful.
Get her an extra mic.
We're sharing here at WMUK. It makes it a more cozy experience.
It does.
Really,
it does.
Along with Earl Grey tea, and of course my wonderful guests. Brandon, it's time to shine the light on you a little bit. I think. Brandon.
Finally. No, I'm kidding.
Okay, being the straight guy, thankless task, or harder than it looks, or what's the deal?
Oh, I'm always grateful after, at the end of the show, I look over at the other, at the suspects, and I'm like, oh, I mean, I'm sore, but I can't imagine Joe has to, you know, contort in so many different ways to be these different characters. But it's really fun. It's a challenge, though, because even though I know all the lines that are coming, like, sometimes they still make me laugh.
You're you know, waiting.
Oh, yeah. Sometimes it's like, don't laugh. This is a serious part of the show. But it's really fun. And it's also fun to, like, play the piano during a show.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
Sometimes I forget that it's like a part of it, and then
I do too. Yeah. I'm like in describing it, I'm like, oh yeah, there's that too.
It's a single piano, but as I recall, sometimes do you both get on the keyboard together?
We fight over it.
Yeah.
Yes, there's there's three moments of four-handed piano playing at the beginning and the midpoint, and then there's a big celebratory finish.
Speaking of 1930s, one of the previews, a print preview. I think West Michigan Review mentioned the name Zez Confrey, who was a pretty spectacular, popular pianist in the 30s, and he knew ragtime styles, but wrote a lot of his own music and things like that. And so when you reference him, is that because his music is used, or you're basing it on his style?
It's all original music. I composed all the music.
Oh, okay.
And so no, we don't use anything, although the holiday version does incorporate some of my arrangements of Christmas carols. But for every score I write for a musical, I like to have like a reference Bible of like something that just inspires the score or is like what I'm trying to evoke, the same feeling I'm trying to evoke. And for Murder for Two, it was the collected works of Zez Confrey. It's like whenever I was looking for like how I was starting to compose a new piece of music for the show and like looking for just like some inspiration, I would just play through some of his stuff. And it's so I'm sure people who listen to this show would know it, but like it's such it's so playful. It's so well crafted and beautiful, but he never took his job as a composer seriously, and I think that's what that's what the style of Murder for Two is in a nutshell,
yeah.
In a more like abstract way, but like in a literal way too. It's like we're trying to like do a neo vaudeville act, you know, a two person vaudeville act. And that's what that world, musical world is as well.
The one piece that comes to mind immediately is Kitten on the Keys. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Which was
Dizzy Fingers is one that a lot of people played in high school too. he did a great suite called Moods of a New Yorker.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that is, I think it's four parts. That's like a New Yorker taking a nap in the late afternoon and then waking up and racing to the theater to see a show and then going out dancing after the show. And it's just like, it's just joy.
Do you spend a lot of time in New York? Is that where you live?
Yes, Brandon and I are both New Yorkers.
Mm-hmm. Hell's Kitchen.
Washington Heights.
Okay. Always get a little bit of, you know, travel satisfaction just by talking to people from New York. And the scene just sounds so vibrant and exciting, but also it's a tough place to survive. So I'm always grateful, ultimately, to live in very affordable Kalamazoo.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, pros and cons. Pros and cons. Yeah.
Why don't you lead us into one of the pieces from Murder for Two that will give people a little taste of what the show is about. I should mention again, I'm getting all of my information from FarmersAlleyTheater.com.
Theater with an R-E.
With an R-E, as Rob would say, the pretentious way. To spell it, which I've never lost. That makes me laugh. FarmersAlleyTheater.com, and tickets are there. So is the COVID policy. The thing that will be different from 2016 is we'll all be masked and we'll forget about it as soon as the show starts. So,
yes, if we do it right.
let's have a listen to, is it the ultimate?
The finale ultimo is the final four-handed piano piece. And this is just when the two actors finish the show to ideally thunderous applause and and just have a great time doing Chico and Harpo Marx styled piano hijinks together.
All right, we're going to give away the ending right here on Classical
The Butler Did It. Oh, whoops.
Little sound effect at the end of that track from Murder for Two. And here in the studio, we have one of the pianists, Joe Kanosian, and one of the creators of the show, and Brandon Lambert, who is not new to the show, but is...
I'm new to the holiday edition. First time.
Okay. The holiday edition begins Friday, November 19th at Farmers Alley Theater in the downtown space. Details are at FarmersAlleyTheater.com. You described the feel of the music very well, character of it quite well, very
Thank
fun.
You.
Plus, as it brings back the fact that you're doing very physical things throughout the entire run of the show, and perhaps we could talk a little bit about the physical demands and do you prioritize certain ways to build stamina, you know, to do
Yeah, I think
doing
we both saying after a rehearsal the other day that we have Murder for Two back, Which is just like when your back hurts from
leaning,
just standing in rehearsal so long, because we never really leave the stage except for brief moments here and there. And then also
sitting at the piano, having to still talk to the character who
twists your neck around, hurts your wrist because you're trying to be funny while hitting a note.
I have to drag you around the stage a few times.
Well, that, one of the things I love about Brandon is he is not afraid to go for that physicality, and I think like that's so much of what's fun for the audience to watch is how taxing it is on our bodies. And it's that's part of the joy is like seeing it just actors pushed to their limit.
Your knees.
I have to get on my knees a lot, and also in the show. So it's I play three members of a 12 member boys choir who sing a song in the midway point, and it does involve a little soft shoe on the knees, which is torturous for me and hopefully entertaining for the audience.
That's one way to win over an audience, is to exert yourself to such an extreme that we can't help but feel sympathy.
Yeah, you don't need cardio when you're doing Murder for Two.
Yeah,
you really don't.
It's great in that regard, yeah.
Shows start Friday and continue through December 12th. There are tickets already being sold at FarmersAlleyTheater.com. COVID restrictions do apply. Masking and vaccination status is required. Maybe Jeremy can talk a little bit about the team that's helping put this together, including director Kathy Moulet.
Yes, Kathy Moulet, our directing supervisor, giving extra pair of eyes and ears to make sure that...
Taskmaster.
Yeah, you know,
I
want to
come up with one word for each of them.
Okay, good. All right, so Kathy Moulet, Taskmaster. Of course, Roger Burley, keeping everything, the glue that holds it all together, and calling the show and calling all the cues.
Smoker.
No. And then Jason Frink, our incredible lighting designer.
Lovely.
Savannah Draper, our props designer.
Genius.
Eric Perry, our scenic designer.
Oh God, I want to say hunky. Is that okay?
Hey, you heard it here first.
It's fine on it.
Tony Mitchell, our sound designer.
Oh, wonderful.
Julie Miner, our assistant stage manager, who is doing all of the handheld, phrase this for me.
Well, no spoilers, but... we can't do audience participation because of COVID. So Julie has a very pronounced role, and the word I'll use for her is monster.
But she's doing since we're not using our hydraulics, she is doing the handmade scenic things.
She's that, like the person backstage.
Yes.
So she has a more special role.
Okay.
I feel bad about calling Roger a smoker, although he is. I'll say teddy bear. That's one word. It's a hyphenate.
That is good. And then, Kathy is also serving as a quasi costume designer.
A taskmaster in that regard. Go on.
You know, part of the beauty and the cool thing about having you here, Joe, you know, as composer slash star slash your slash, that is your nickname.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Is that obviously you know the show so well that, you know, we were able to, you know, use your skills to help guide the direction of the show as well.
Right.
Yeah, it's a collaboration. I mean, and that also is a part that reminds me of the early days because, you know, there was no director in the first few stops and it was me on the inside, quote unquote, like in the show, and then Kellen, my writing partner, on the outside, and we would compare notes afterwards. And I feel like that's kind of what Kathy and I get to do. But, you know, we all have input this time around, and so it really does feel like a community building the show. And the staff at Farmers Alley and the creative team, what they've brought to it is just so wonderful. It's really inspiring. And I know we're going to build a really special version.
This is, as we've been learning, a long-running and very successful show. And Joe, you must get this question once in a while. Is this your entire performing life, or do you also have time for other projects? You know, and is it a challenge to continually go back to Murder for Two?
Yes. Oh, I mean, those are all good questions. The thing about Murder for Two is that a lot of theaters tend to cast people who've done it before. So if you once you're in that cycle, you tend to get asked a lot.
When the phone
rings.
Brandon
can speak to that, too.
Health insurance.
It's health insurance. Yeah. It's cardio and health insurance. All. It's the cause of and the solution to everything that's wrong with your body.
It is good insurance, so yeah. And it's just, it's such a, you know, if you have to do one show, this is the show I've done the most. And besides that, I think Forever Plaid is one that I've done a lot. Mm-hmm. But, like, this show is so good. It's, like, a great, great script. Like, the story's great. Yeah, it's really well crafted. I mean, and, you know, I'm lucky to have done it a few hundred times.
Yeah, well, thank you very much. I agree. It is beautiful craftsmanship. what's cool about it is it was as a teenager and like young 20-something performer, I was never comfortable as an actor unless I was at the piano. And if I was seated at the piano, I felt like I could do anything. I could be the biggest, broadest person ever. But like if I was away from the piano, if I didn't have my crutch, I couldn't move. And what was so great about Murder for Two is it totally got me over that fear and feeling like I could be a quote unquote real actor. And then it led to me getting cast in lots of other shows. So it is the majority of my performing work as well, which I'm happy to say, because I still enjoy it too. But it's also, you know, been this great gateway into doing other things and writing other things too.
It's wonderful.
Yeah, keep writing shows with pianos in them.
That's helpful
for some of us.
We're working on it. Our new show, can I just say our new show, It Came From Outer Space, is opening at Chicago Shakespeare in spring of 2022. So
it's a Knosian and Blair.
Yes.
Knosian and Blair.
Long awaited follow up. We had four unproduced ones in between, but
that were very good. That were very, very good.
Well, yes. As I like to say, the reason they didn't get produced, one of them is our fault, the other three are not our fault.
Because it's a harsh mistress of theater.
Yeah.
So again, that's Chicago next spring.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And you said Plan 9?
No, although that's a great movie too.
I'm sorry.
It Came From Outer Space, the Ray Bradbury Universal. It was the first Universal sci-fi 3D movie from 1953. And it's been a blast to adapt that story and make it
cool.
Speak to our times, but also just be campy, silly 50s sci-fi.
Well, you pretty much answered the question that was forming in my mind about, you know, you've adapted this with some holiday touches and references, you know, murder mysteries, which I adore, you know, I like, they're always in settings like Murder in the Theater or Murder in Academia. That's one of my favorites.
Uh-oh. Look out, coworkers.
Yes, yes. Two professors up for a deanship or something, and things get really, really deadly.
Sure. Or whoever doesn't get you a third microphone in here.
Martin Clem.
Jeremy and I can share.
Oh, listen, you guys are doing wonderfully with the two microphones and Jeremy jumping in once in a while. I'm either we hit another piece of music or we can wrap it up and I'll play a little bit of Marta Argerich for you.
Ooh. Oh, let's do both. We don't have anywhere to be. We can just stay. Okay. If you play a lot voice, that would be the best other track, I think.
In the meantime,
you're listening to WRATT Rat. We play Round and Round all Sunday long.
I'm not sure that's legal.
Oh, sorry.
This is WKDS Classical WMUK 89.9 FM.
I misspoke.
No, I'm kidding. I'm pretty sure it's okay.
Satire. You can call it satire.
Well, let me remind listeners yet again, the shows begin on Friday with...
this Friday?
Yes, Brandon.
Oh, my God. I have to cancel something.
Brandon Lambert is Detective Marcus Moskowitz, and Joe Kanosian is
a suspect.
He's all the suspects, 10 characters at least, including three choir boys,
and
apparently
a dead body, which is probably your greatest accomplishment.
Yeah.
It's a very physical show. There's a lot of both physical comedy, musical comedy, and verbal comedy. It's all there.
Well, let me just sing their praises a little bit because it's, well, I'm sure they do it a lot, but I'll just do it for them. You know, they not only have to sing and act, they also play the piano for each other. I know that's been established, but I mean, I think most of us are probably in awe of that, that they just jump behind the piano and just accompany each other. I mean, but they also have to be tremendous comedians. I mean, their timing is impeccable. Their improv skills, you know, because something's going to happen and they're on their toes and they're just going to roll with it. And I think a lot of people are going to be really impressed with that as well. And then just being great guys and having this great chemistry, too, because throughout all the characters that they play, they have to have all these different kinds of relationships, you know, whether it's, you know, joshing and ribbing and joking, but sometimes like seriously just looking in each other's eyes and kind of, you know, maybe falling in love a little bit. So you get a little bit of everything with this show. But the biggest thing, like, to come full circle is I have been laughing my head off. I know the show pretty well from doing it, you know, producing it 5 years ago. But the whole design team is in stitches. We are just laughing nonstop, and you will too. So please get a ticket and come see the show. One quick thing that I unfortunately have to remind your audience is that we're not doing the coffee and dessert that we've kind of become known for during the holiday times, but the dessert is the show.
I do have one question for you, Jeremy. Since we also talked about the fact that this was a Gilmore collaboration during the festival last time, do you have another piano-centric or music-centric show that you will do?
Yeah, Jeremy.
In May, when the festival's here.
Yeah, well, we're free. What do you want to do?
Well,
two pianos for
how's
hands,
your how's your Billie Holiday skills? Okay. Thank you, Carol, for that little setup for the rest of the season. Yes, coming up in April, May 2022, another Farmers Alley Gilmore Piano Festival collaboration, which again, we're so grateful to our friends at the Gilmore, is a show titled Lady Day at Emerson's Bar and Grill.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yes, and it features, you know,
disappointed.
It takes you to a kind of a seedy nightclub in Philadelphia in 1959 in what feels like what probably would have been Billie Holiday's last public performance. And so we are bringing in just a dynamite team, most specifically Alexis J. Rosten, who won a Chicago Jeff Award for playing this role in Chicago. And so I'm really thrilled to bring her and to present her talent to Kalamazoo. And she's just absolutely fantastic. So she tells stories, you know, based on the life of Billie Holiday and sings all that tremendously powerful and impactful music. So you do not want to miss that. That's April, May 2022. Thank you.
So you still have the collaboration going, which is wonderful to hear. And those performances will also be in the downtown space, Farmers Alley Theater.
Yes. Our whole season is in the downtown space on the actual Farmers Alley Street.
Okay.
In the building that's on the street.
It's all at farmersalleytheater.com. Well, I need some help with introducing the next piece, highlight from Murder for Two. It's called A Lot Voice.
Yes. Okay, so Detective Marcus at one point realizes that he thinks he's met all the suspects in the room, but the whole time he's been interrogating people, there has been a 12-member boys choir in the room with him, which he was not aware of. And so he tells them, because they're children, they have to get out of the room. This is inappropriate. So the members of the boys choir assure him that they've seen far, far worse.
It was a beautiful setup, Joe.
And I'm going to fill for time while Kara fiddles with Jeremy's iPhone here.
The connection.
Yeah. Hey, boss man, perhaps you could also get Kara some sort of Spotify link so that she can play clips off the internet. We're not in this awkward position.
Hold on, Joe. I think I got it.
Got it.
Well, I'm sure this must be pretty difficult for you youngsters.
Difficult? Because of one lousy dead body? You got a lot to learn about kids, Chief.
We've been around the block a time or two and seen a lot, all right. Don't imagine that we're not all right, because we've seen a lot worse. Tell the truth, if we was younger, we'd be getting sicker now. But our skin's a little thicker now, cause we've seen a lot worse. We've seen a fella torn in two one day by a gorilla at the zoo one day. We hardly ever make it through one day without a glimpse of horror. No need to intervene, we've seen a lot worse.
Well, I remember what it felt like to be your age. we've seen a lot worse. We spent a night trapped in IKEA once, beside a kid with diarrhea once. We saw a show called Mamma Mia once, and still was somehow smiling. Death break. Justin! Time step! Wings! No, sir, we ain't pristine, we seen a lot.
Stuff like a tiny green, we seen a lot.
And if we reach 13, we'll see a lot worse.
Coming out of it.
Yeah. You guys.
Like we're watching a clip show.
Okay, fine.
If you tuned in during the music, it's a highlight from Murder for Two, and the creator and one of the actors who acts all 10 characters, including the choir boys, Joe Kanosian, is here. Brandon Lambert is here, who plays Detective Marcus Moskowitz, and also artistic director of Farmers Alley Theater, Jeremy Koch. The show starts on Friday, and you're in Tech Week. It's countdown to Friday. At which point do you get a little time off? Is that when the pressure actually lifts for you too, when the performances are happening?
Well, yes and no. I mean, yes. Once the machine of the show is running, then that goes. And, yeah, you know, we just need to check in as needed as things change, or as we need to touch base on things or refine certain things. But, you know, I'm a writer and Brandon is a writer, composer as well. So we both keep a lot of irons in the fire. So I think in the one sense, it'll be like, yay, we get the show up and running, and then we can like focus back on, you know, getting other work underway. And
are you hoping that it snows while you're here and you get to do some winter?
So I love snow, but I also don't drive in it a lot. So I think that's why I can just appreciate it. So yes, I am hoping it snows.
Yeah. I'm from Cleveland, so I'm used to...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I know what it's like, the lake effect and all that.
Yeah. You're from Cleveland.
Yeah, a little town called Aurora, Ohio. Mm-hmm. Used to have a SeaWorld. Used to have a Six Flags.
We used to have an Alamo Theater.
Oh, it used to be right by the Farmer's Alley. Yeah. Yeah, it was here in 2016.
Yeah, sad.
So sad.
That was my only way to to match you on SeaWorld. Yeah. tell me about your, you know, training as a pianist.
I am mostly self-taught, actually.
Cool.
Yeah.
Ear training? Like,
no, I just, I got a piano when, I think I was like 10 or 11. My parents... friends were moving and they were like, do you want this upright piano? And if they knew how much I would play it, they probably wouldn't have taken it. But I kind of, you know, loved cast albums, and so I wanted to be able to play them. So I kind of just like got books from, you know, Becky Fussner down the street, who played piano, and I was like, well, if she can play piano, I can. So I just kind of like taught myself. I did take lessons a little bit during high school, but I had to pick between voice lessons and piano lessons, and I went with voice lessons.
Yeah. Double threat.
Yeah, I can't dance, so she's double. And I can't act either, right, Joe?
Oh, I'd say that you're a wonderful actor.
Oh.
Did the fingerings and technique that you developed on your own kind of work out for you?
Oh, yeah. I mean, this show's a monster. I remember when I first auditioned for it, they gave you free tickets to the off-Broadway production so you could see what you're getting into to audition. And I was sitting next to like four other people who were auditioning for the same role.
Yeah.
And after the show, which Joe, you were in it. You were
oh, yeah.
The suspects.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And
after the show, I think three of the five of us were like, I can't play that. I thought it would be like, you know,
Oompa, oompa.
Yeah, or
corded.
So yeah, it definitely helps to have a good technique, and you have to memorize the whole score too. So it's not one of those you can just know the chord symbols and make stuff up, especially when you're doing it with the composer.
It's hard to cast. I mean, that's the thing, is like it's desirable for theaters to do, simply because you don't need a lot of personnel. You don't need to hire an extra band. You only need those two performers because they are the orchestra as well. But it is really, I mean, so many times in an audition, we get these great actors or these great pianists. And then when someone comes in who can do both, like Brandon, it's just like, oh my God, fantastic. And a lot of the guys and women who've done it over the years, you know, so it is exciting to see that all happen.
You've cast women as female detectives?
Yes, there have been. I don't think there's ever been a female detective, although I was always hoping to at some point have a hand in an all-female production in both roles. But there have been three female suspects over the years, which makes sense because it's actually more women characters than men. I mean, you know, you can do it any way you want. But my friend Danny Rhodes did it, and I saw her. She's like, she can do like aerial work. So the big number for the widow character at the end, she was like on a swing, and I was like, that is a lot of work right there. No swings at Farmer's Alley.
Now that you mention it, I think we're going to add one. Note to self, get a swing.
This late in the day. Murder for Two Holiday Edition starts Friday. You're listening to our conversation with Joe Kanosian and Brandon Lambert, the two stars of the show. It's a two-person tour de force that will run until December 12th downtown at Farmer's Alley Theater. I asked Brandon about his musical foundations. Maybe I'll ask the same of you, Joe, on learning piano and such.
Well, I played piano because my sister played, and I just wanted to do what she did. So I would just take
so
long.
That's so annoying as an older sister.
Oh, I'm sure it was. So I would, you know, tag along to her piano lessons and just begged for lessons. I started lessons at like 6 and did classical training. Then in high school, I did like a fairly serious like conservatory pre-training program with a teacher and realized in pretty short order that I loved classical music and I loved listening to it. I did not want to spend my life recreating it. Mm-hmm. And I also don't think I was good enough to do that. I was good in different ways. So I started writing and playing Tori Amos. And that was kind of my...
Right. Piano forward music there.
Absolutely, yeah. And I often encourage classical people who don't listen to a lot of pop music, it's like, listen to one of Tori's albums. You'll be impressed by like how you can incorporate that training and put it into other things. So I think it's just about taking that background in classical, which is, you know, the foundation of so much of our Western music, and making it your own. What can you do with it?
It sure gives you a lot of good tools, including notation. Like,
for sure.
Passing theory. On your thoughts on paper to other people, and they can pick it up in a snap.
In a passive-aggressive way.
Well, this has been a terrific hour spent here with you two. I'm sure you're more than ready for Friday.
For bed. Oh, yeah. And Friday.
So I guess just one last round of your thoughts on the show and being here in Kalamazoo at Farmer's Alley Theater. I'll start with you, Joe.
Oh, I'm thrilled to be back in Kalamazoo. I'm going to tear up Crow's Nest once we're open, so look out. I'm very grateful to Jeremy and to everybody at Farmer's Alley for making the show happen, and I'm really excited to be working again, just period. So thank you in advance to the audiences for being part of that, of this new world. And I would finally add, turn off your phones.
You may have to say it again, maybe at every show.
Oh, we do.
Yeah. There's limited seating
available.
You can
text when it's over.
This is a 100-seat theater, so if this sounds appealing to you.
Oh.
If it sounds appealing, you might want to ensure that you'll be able to see it. final words from you, Brandon.
I'm so excited to do this show again. I love it. I love it. I love the space we're in. I've never done this in anything other than a proscenium. Mm-hmm. So it's really fun to have the audience like right there. And I'm excited to just hear people laugh like in a room together and not just imagining it.
Yeah. Just doing performing and then waiting for that nothing.
Yeah.
Which is the pandemic thing.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's a very exciting thing, and can't wait for Friday. It's going to be awesome. I can't wait for Thursday.
And Jeremy, it's up to you for anything we've missed.
Speaking of Thursday.
What's Thursday?
Since we are here at, on Western's campus.
Oh, well, the college folks.
It's our final dress rehearsal, but it's also we open the doors to students. As we call it Student Appreciation Night. So anyone with a valid student ID can come and see the show for only $5. And then we do offer Student Rush for only $10 for the rest of the run. However, many shows have limited availability. They may sell out, so don't count on that. If you do want to reserve a student ticket in advance, it's only $15.
Oh.
So that's how we show our love to students around town, not just Western students, but high school,
college. I'm going to play an unwilling college student. I want to watch Squid Game and stay home, smoke pot.
Wait a minute. Well, the good thing about this young, random college student is that...
My name's Diane.
Diane, here's the thing. This show will fill your heart and mind and soul much more than Squid Game ever could.
Okay.
And it's only,
I like Squid Game.
And it's only 90 minutes.
Oh, now I'll come. Tops. Now yeah. I'll come.
And there's lots of death and craziness.
But you said no dessert.
Right. Right. But you could bring a...
Can I get dessert after on my own?
Bring a cookie in your pocket.
Okay, then I'm on board.
Cookie in your pocket. Throw it over your shoulder.
We're weighing options here.
We also do require proof of vaccination.
Kara literally has her head in her hand. Like,
oh,
when
no.
are these people
oh, no.
leaving?
She's left. She actually left the studio, Kara.
I don't know
so
how to
you.
End this interview.
We are taking over. I will be joining you for the next hour and a half on WMUK.
No, I'm really out of here.
Oh, she's literally out of here. How's my radio?
She has to walk us back to the car because we don't know how we got here.
That's right. It's a labyrinth.
A separate issue.
You walked us through the labyrinth, the maze of corridors. We do require proof of vaccination, so bring your card or a picture of your card. There are many shows that have very limited availability, so please call or go online ASAP to get some seats. Student night, $5 this Thursday. And... I think that's it.
You can always follow up at FarmersAlleyTheater.com and or even stop in once in a while. It's attended sometimes downtown.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I'm usually there. You know, someone's usually there between, you know, 12 and 5,
yeah.
Sometimes earlier, sometimes later.
Okay.
But you can always call us. If we don't answer, leave a message. We'll get back to you. 269-343-2727, FarmersAlleyTheater.com. And theater with an R-E because that's the art form, Joe. It's not pretentious.
Well.
Farmers Alley Theater is the building.
I'm completely discombobulated. It is a really good time to go and let something like NPR newscasts take over. And in the meantime, Martha Argerich will take us out.
Yay.
Here to this morning.
She's also here. She's been quiet the whole time in the corner.
Thank you all.
Thanks for having us, Kara.